This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Judiciary will now come to order. Sorry to scare you there, Representative Stevens. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elworth.
Here.
Barthel.
Here.
Schwach.
Here.
Odenbach.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Hischke.
Here.
Hoyer.
Present.
Rehfeldt.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
Soy.
Here.
St. John.
Here.
Stevens. Excused. Hansen.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have a quorum. The Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the House Judiciary Committee meeting from last Wednesday. Moved by Representative Stevens.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Pischke. Any comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Welcome, everybody, to the House Judiciary Committee. We have some pages working on our behalf that I'd like to introduce, but they are off busy, so we'll introduce them later. Please remember to silence your electronic devices. If you wish to testify, you're welcome to do so, but please remember to sign in at the podium in the back. Please also remember that all questions and comments should flow through the chair. And if you have any handouts for the committee, you're welcome to present them, but please do have those distributed through the pages as well. We have three bills on our agenda today, but one of those bills, that would be House Bill 1061, to prohibit smoking marijuana and its derivatives in a motor vehicle and create a penalty therefore. The prime sponsor of that bill has asked the chair to defer that bill for a later hearing. So the chair is going to hereby defer action on that bill. I see we had a couple joining us for that one alone. Sorry, guys. If there's anybody out from out of town that was here to testify on that bill, though, we would accept your testimony at this time. So if there's anybody from out of town that wishes to testify on 1061, you're welcome to do so. Is there anyone here to testify from out of town? Okay. Being distributed by our page right now is a bill that the governor has asked to be introduced through the Judiciary Committee on her behalf. I'm going to let that be distributed. This is very similar, well, it's identical actually to what we did at our last meeting. So I'll just let you take a look at that real quick before I ask for a motion. Everybody have it in front of them? Okay. So the chair would introduce, the chair would entertain a motion to introduce an act to limit certain actions that may be taken by the executive branch relative to charitable organizations or charitable trusts through the judiciary at the request of the governor.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Pischke. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Barthel. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll just do a voice vote. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. All right. Let's jump into our first bill of the day then. We're going to go in the order that the bills appear on the agenda, save for House Bill 1061. So the first bill before the Judiciary Committee today is House Bill 1060. House Bill 1060, an act to direct certain persons to notify funeral directors of communicable diseases or conditions. The Judiciary Committee will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1060. Welcome, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, and I apologize, Chairman Hansen, for not signing in on the sheet, but I'm very honored, committee members, to be here. of which I spent 6 years previously in the South Dakota House and had an enjoyable time learning about things I knew I would never, ever have thought about otherwise than being in this committee. I bring you House Bill 1060, and it is an act to direct certain persons to notify funeral directors of communicable diseases or conditions. The way it's written right now is going to be amended, and I would like to put forth it will be Amendment 1060A. It's in LRC. It just hasn't been back to us yet, but it's simple, and I think we can do a voice amendment on this, which on the fly hasn't been done so far by me in any committee, but I'll read the bill in its first form, and then I'll let you know what the amendment. It's a short bill. The bill said the person who completes the medical certificate shall notify the funeral director or person acting as such who first assumes custody of the dead body if the body at the time of death had a communicable disease or condition that is the subject of a declared public health emergency pursuant to 34-22-42, or the subject of a declaration of the governor pursuant to Chapter 34-48-A. And a number of funeral home directors came to me, I'm sure in light of the COVID-19 dilemma that we've all been under all year, that they're concerned that they may get a deceased body that had a communicable disease that they did not know about. And what this bill would do would be to inform them, and they would take extra precautions knowing that there is a pandemic-type disease, communicable disease, that this person has. In visiting with a number of people, I was in favor of adding this amendment, and I'll go through that amendment. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would love for you to include the amendment, and then you have already heard the bill, and if someone is against that, fine. If the amendment doesn't fly, that's it's up to you. You're the committee. But what I'd like to do in the amendment is strike the first 7 words, the person who completes the medical certificate, and add, for deaths occurring in a healthcare facility licensed under Chapter 34-12, the healthcare facility, then the rest of the bill shall notify the funeral director, on and on. So all we're doing is taking it from a person or a coroner or a sheriff or a doctor and putting it into for deaths occurring in a healthcare facility. What this does also, there's no penalty, there's no misdemeanor if they don't. This isn't forcing them to, but if a funeral home director asks, this statute may in fact force the healthcare facility to release that information. And under federal law, they did get rid of HIPAA with a deceased body between the coroner, the funeral home directors, and a hospital. So you don't have any rights once you're dead. You just have respect. With that, I would love to have someone push the amendment, second it, and then vote on it. With your permission.
Mr. Chair, this is Matt Frainger Stapper.
Matt, go ahead.
Could Representative Hoffman please state the amendment again so I can make sure I get that, and then I will share that on everyone's screen.
Sure. Representative Hoffman, I think I have it here in front of me. You can tell me if this is correct. So we would strike the person who completes the medical certificate and insert in its place for deaths occurring in a healthcare facility licensed under Chapter 34-12, comma, the healthcare facility.
That is exactly correct, Chairman.
Okay.
I'd make that motion.
Okay, moved by Representative Stevens, seconded by Representative Rehfeld to amend House Bill 1060 by striking the persons by striking the person who completes the medical certificate and inserting for deaths occurring in a healthcare facility licensed under Chapter 34-12, comma, the healthcare facility. Does everybody got that? Everybody on the same page with that amendment? Oh, is it on our screen here? Okay. If you look on the screen, yeah, Representative Stevens, you can look right back here. It's a little closer. Okay, so the motion has been made and seconded. Everybody okay with the motion? All right, all those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The bill is so amended. Thank you for your testimony, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, and that's all I have. If you have any questions, I will be here.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony? Mr. Gloat, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of the Judiciary Committee, I'm Jason Gloat, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Funeral Directors Association. We appreciate the efforts of Representative Hoffman to support his bill. Funeral Directors Association represents the vast majority of 93 funeral homes that are licensed in the state currently. They're some of the unsung heroes of this pandemic that don't get a lot of attention. They do the yeoman's work, unfortunately, on the tragic side of what we're dealing with. This industry, as many others are experienced, have some serious workforce development challenges. They do not have a lot of employees. They've been working extreme hours for the better part of a year now. This is a common sense bill. I think they deserve protection. It's consistent with HIPAA regulations that does provide an exemption for such information to be shared with funeral directors, and we would urge your support.
Thank you, sir. Is there any further proponents? Welcome, Mr. Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Rave, representing Sadaho. That's all 54 nonprofit hospitals in the state and 46 long-term care facilities. I want to thank Representative Hoffman, Mr. Gloat, and the funeral directors for letting me help amend the bill. I just want to walk through that, why that needed to happen. The way the bill read before, it said, as you remember, a person who fills out the certificate shall. Imagine the doctor up on third floor ICU is not going to go down and talk to the funeral director at the morgue at the time they come to pick up the deceased. So just logistically, we would not be able to comply with the law if it was passed in its original form. Very much appreciate them working with us to get that addressed. I wholeheartedly support the bill. I will end, Mr. Chairman, by saying that current practice, at least at one of our large health systems, because that's the only one I spoke to about this, they currently, and this is in every facility from the small towns to the large medical centers in town, a nurse is actually going to the morgue at this point to help a gown and a glove and protect the funeral directors or whoever they send to retrieve the deceased. So I know the hospitals are stepping up, playing their part too, to make sure everybody's safe in this ridiculous pandemic time. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand down, stand by for any questions. Thank you, sir.
Further proponents? Are there any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we will now open to questions from the committee. Are there any committee questions? Any questions from the committee? Seeing no committee questions, we will move to committee Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For whoever might want to answer this, whether that's a sponsor or others, since we amended this to amend out the person who completes the medical certificate, and we changed it to for deaths occurring in a healthcare facility licensed under 3412, is there anybody that would that eliminate? Is there anybody not licensed under 3412 that would be handling those bodies that should be covered by this?
Mr. Glow.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, there are certain situations where a medical facility or hospital facility, assisted living center, or nursing home, maybe comes directly from the coroner, but we believe this language is appropriate and encompasses the vast majority of situations where those facilities are best positioned to know whether there's a communicable disease, and they're in the best position to inform the funeral director. There could possibly be situations where they're not involved, but we believe this is the right approach.
Follow up? Further committee questions? Seeing no further questions, thank you, Mr. Gloat. We will move to committee discussion or action on House Bill 1060 as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Motion made, due pass by Representative Stevens, seconded by Representative Reimer. Any discussion on the motion, Representative Stevens?
Well, I think this is the appropriate thing to go, and I think in response to Representative Peterson's bill, we have other places in the code, Title 34, that talks about those who are authorized to sign death certificates and those type of things. And so what I think this actually does is expand those people available to do that. So that's why I think this is really a good language to be added to it.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, the question before the committee is whether to send House Bill 1060 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elward?
Aye.
Barthel?
Aye.
Schwach?
Aye.
Odenbach?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Pischke?
Aye.
Poirier? Excused? Rehfeld?
Madam Secretary, Representative Poirier.
My apologies. Aye.
Rehfeld?
Aye.
Reimer?
Aye.
Soy?
Aye.
St. John?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
We have 13 yeas, 0 nays.
That motion carries. House Bill 1060, as amended, will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair would have the opportunity to certify this for the consent calendar. You all right with that, Representative Hoffman? All right. The chair hereby certifies 1060 as amended for the consent calendar. We will move in our agenda then to House Bill 1043. House Bill 1043, an act to provide enhanced permit criteria for current and former law enforcement officers. The Judiciary Committee will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1043. Welcome, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. You may have heard the expression, cleanup bills. I try not to use that because that infers that we made a mess the last time. So this is more of a correction of an omission, just a little bit of history. With the enhanced concealed carry permits, individuals have to take a class and have to certify with or qualify with their handguns to this instructor's approval. Up until 2019, law enforcement officers had to do the same thing. So in 2019, we changed the language, and that would be on the top page in the bracket there where it says 2019. We added to the enhanced concealed carry law that if they are a current or former law enforcement officer and has within the preceding 12 months qualified or requalified on a shooting course, we included them so they did not have to go through the class, and that just made sense. Take a 20-year police veteran, and it really makes no sense to have them sit through a civilian self-defense class. So we added that in 2019. Then in 2020, we modified the enhanced concealed carry renewal process, and we inadvertently did not include that same language for law enforcement officers. A little background, there's a national act called the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. It's called LEOSA to cops. I'm sure Representative Barthel is familiar with it. That's a national reciprocity for law enforcement, but they have to qualify with a law enforcement course that's specifically taught by a nationally certified trainer. We only have 2 in the state, and I believe we're going to only have 1 soon. So they don't do classes all the time. So for cops, you know, let's say they want to go fishing in Minnesota, okay? Having the enhanced concealed carry permit gives them 38 states. LEOSA gives them all 50 states, but it's really hard to get certified for that or qualify for that just because the difficulty of finding an instructor to do it. So all we're really doing is giving the officers the same opportunity as if on a new enhanced concealed carry permit on the renewal. That's all this is doing. The second page, we take that same language and apply it to the new renewal process. So, again, it's not really a cleanup. It's just adding or correcting an omission that we had last year. So it really makes sense that law enforcement officers should not have to take the enhanced concealed carry nor have to take it on a renewal, and that's all this does. So thank you, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1043.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I forgot. I am Kevin Jensen, representative from District 16. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to make your acquaintance. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1043.
Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Good morning. Members of the committee, my name is Jason Lutz. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State. We're here as a proponent for this bill. We think it adds consistency to the new applicants and renewal program for folks who are law enforcement officers seeking an enhanced permit card. Our role in the process is that we issue the cards after they've applied for and passed the background checks at the local sheriff level. But we think this is a good piece of legislation, and we would offer our support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1043. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Major Rob Weinmeister with the Department of Public Safety. We also stand in support of this bill. Provides an easier way, or not an easier way, but a recognizing the experience of an officer to help get their enhanced carry permit renewed. So we support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1043. Are there any further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents? Any opponents to House Bill 1043? Seeing no opponents, we'll open to committee questions. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Stevens.
Thank you, and I don't care who answers this question. Representative, how would this apply if, let's say, an officer were to leave his employment as a result of disciplinary reasons or gets fired for doing something incorrect? Would that he still be entitled to this type of arrangement?
If it was a felony, their permit would be withdrawn anyway. It also indicates that they have to have, within the last year, qualified with a law enforcement department qualifying shoot. I suppose there's a possibility of a window, but I guess that's the best I can answer that question. Under normal circumstances, somebody's removed for disciplinary action, I would believe that they would probably lose their concealed carry permit, too. Maybe public safety can answer that better than I can, but that would be my assumption. Being a former law enforcement, I know that you lose a lot of things when you lose your job. So,
thank you, sir. Mr. Weinmeister, would you like to comment on that?
Chair, what I would say about that is, I guess if somebody is removed for disciplinary actions or something like that, depending on what that circumstance is, that may go to the Law Enforcement Commission and they may lose their certification also. And obviously, if somebody who is removed for disciplinary action, they're probably not going to be certified or qualified again with that department. So there might be a small percentage in there, like Representative said, but I don't see it being a huge issue at all. But
yeah. Thank you, sir. Further questions from the committee? Representative Soy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Or you're not the Speaker. Chairman, excuse me. I know this section specifically applies to law enforcement. I'm wondering about current military members, if there's another section that applies to them in a similar manner.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. No, in the enhanced concealed carry, anybody that's here as a resident for 30 days can qualify. Military comes and goes, and honestly, we have not made a consideration for that in the past. Not that I'm against military, but in fact, just the opposite. But it's really designed for South Dakota residents, long-term residents, and it's an excellent question, and I'd be willing to amend to amend to include that. However, you know, when you stall on a question long enough, you come up with the answer, right? Good lawyer trick, right? No, I'm not a lawyer. The bottom line, I think, would be, and then I lost the answer. Give me one second here. The reason the law enforcement officers are exempt or are able to get their permit without taking the class is they have already proven that they know the South Dakota law on use of force, and they have qualified on a firearms course that's expected by the state for them to qualify. Many military do not have to qualify with a firearm at least even once a year. In fact, many, you know, if you're in the medical services or those kinds of things, you don't really qualify with a firearm. So it really comes down to, have you qualified with a firearm and had training and use of force within the last year? That's really what it comes to.
Follow up?
No further questions.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will move to committee discussion or action on House Bill 1043. Discussion or action, Representative Barthel.
I move do pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Representative Barthel, seconded by Representative Peterson, to send House Bill 1043 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Comments on the motion, Representative Barthel.
I think it was covered very well. It's a good correction. It makes sense.
Thank you, sir. Any further comments on the motion? Seeing no further comments on the motion before the committee is to send House Bill 1043 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elwood.
Aye.
Barthel.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Odenbach.
Aye.
Peterson. Representative Peterson?
Aye.
Excused. Representative Pischke?
Aye.
Puryear?
Aye.
Rehfeld?
Aye.
Reimer?
Aye.
Soy?
Aye.
St. John?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
We have 13 yay, 0 nay.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. That motion carries. Is that all of us? Did she get you in that motion? Okay, yeah. House Bill 1043 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair can also certify that for the consent calendar. You okay with that, Representative Jensen? Are there any objections to that? All right, House Bill 1043 is certified for the consent calendar. A couple of introductions before we conclude. First of all, our page is here. So if you wouldn't mind coming up and introducing yourself. Today is your last day? Yeah. Oh, and there's one. Okay, yeah, come on up. We have the hardest working pages in the Capitol here in the Judiciary Committee. So they're not always here right away, so we have to work their introductions in when we can. So thank you for being here. Please introduce yourself and if you have any plans for after high school.
Hi, my name is Madison Dick. I'm a junior at Harrisburg High School, and my future plans consist of completing high school at the moment.
Great. Okay. That's more than I could say when I was that old.
My name is Abby Blegg. I'm from Salem. I go to high school at McCook Central, and next year I will be going to Iowa State University and majoring in animal science.
Great. Thank you both very much for being here. I hope you had a great time being pages. And I will see you at the pizza party later on. We also have Mr. Siegel here from the trial lawyers. The trial lawyers have been generous enough to pass out some cards in the past. that just set forth our felony and misdemeanors and the punishments or maximum punishments associated with both of those. So I think he's got those again here today. Great. So if you want to introduce yourself, Mr. Siegel, and hand out those cards, be grateful.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Siegel, and like the chair said, I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trialers Association. I do have some little cheat cards if you need for the maximum penalties. So I'll start them out with Doug over here, and if you have one already, don't take one, and or take another one if you want one. And if you,
sure.
You can use them if they help you, and if you don't need them, throw them in the garbage can. Thanks.
Great.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank
Appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Thank you.
Anything further for the Judiciary Committee? Okay, we will have an agenda posted before the end of the day today for Monday, so be on the lookout for that. Seeing no further business, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Pischke.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Stevens. All those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.